WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In the current economy, corporations seem to have found a new way to compete in finding euphemisms for putting people out of work. But linguist Jeff Nunberg says he has their number.
Mr. Dithers could allow himself the luxury of directness. Bumstead, you're fired. But nowadays, the axe is so muffled you can barely hear it fall. Bodies are stacking up all over the country, but nobody's actually been fired. One firm announced involuntary force reductions, while at another, the process was described as involuntary methodologies. A computer firm is doing focused reductions, while an oil company said they were managing down their staff resources. Bumstead, you're managed down. Actually, these are reasonably direct. Most corporations prefer not to mention jobs or people at all. It's easier to describe the process as a kind of physical fitness regime for the body corporate. Companies are restructured, repositioned, redeployed, downsized, right-shaped. Lean is a favorite word here, a new, leaner business division. It makes you think of Scottie Pippen or some Olympic middle distance runner, not the emaciated guy caging spare change at the corner. Now, there have been slang words for discharging somebody since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. Fired itself dates from the late 19th century as a pun on discharged, as in the gun was fired, the gun was discharged. But these words are mostly jocular. They're the graveyard humor of the people at the pointy end of the boot. It's only in recent years that employers have begun to feel the need for ingenious euphemisms. Of course, it's tempting to personalize the indignation that this kind of talk arouses. It's like the movie Roger and Me. You want to think that it reflects a rising tide of insincerity and deviousness. But this is hard to credit, just like the theory that people somehow got greedier sometime in the early 80s. The fact is that jargon like this isn't usually an individual transgression. It's what happens when the system itself begins to talk. If there's an invisible hand that manages the marketplace, there sometimes seems to be an invisible mouth that speaks for it. So put yourself in the place of some speechwriter sitting in corporate communications trying to put the best face on things. You simply can't say, well, business is really terrible and we're going to have to can 5,000 people. In the first place, the union would be on your neck if you used that kind of language. And you can't use layoffs either, because this time the jobs are gone for good. There's a lot at stake in the niceties. Remember that this is a country where it's illegal to fire striking workers, but perfectly okay to hire permanent replacements for them. Then, too, the stock analysts reading your announcement are going to be listening closely for any note of moroseness. Besides, it isn't 100% certain that anybody's actually going to be fired. After all, you're not getting rid of workers, just jobs. You could get lucky. Maybe typhus will break out and kill so many workers that nobody will actually have to be given the sack. Corporate language is like the corporation itself, a device for limiting individual responsibility. Except that both of them tend to leak when the weather gets heavy. Last year's jargon doesn't quite conceal the reality, so the euphemisms get increasingly more strained and defensive. When a company talks about involuntary force reductions or managing down staff resources, you can't help thinking they're trying to repress something. Not that they're worried about the workers catching on. They'll know the score when Friday rolls around. But the managers, the board, the bankers, well, the decisions are a little easier to live with if you don't have to think of yourself as putting people out on the street. That's what makes modern corporations different from Mr. Dither's little office. It's nothing personal, and they're doing all they can to keep it that way.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist associated with Stanford University and the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.